Morning to each one. Greet you the name of Jesus this morning again. And, you know, I feel really blessed to be here this morning, blessed to be alive. And I think it started with this morning, and I get up early, and about 6:15, I went out for a walk for a while. And, you know, just, the turkeys were gobbling, and it just seemed like a perfect morning to be alive. And, you know, there's times in my life that I really resisted having to get up early and get ready to preach. But, you know, I've learned in life to just to enjoy that and to really to love that. And this morning, as I was out walking and realized that, you know, most people were still under the sheets probably, that it's such a blessing to be able to get up and enjoy God's nature and to enjoy what's happening around me and to take that in and to allow that to be a blessing to my life. And I was tremendously blessed this morning because I hadn't looked at Sunday school lesson until I was done studying, and I picked up the Sunday school lesson, and I told my wife, I can hardly believe this. But the title of the message this morning is Sent to Heal. And I know that we've been talking most of the morning about healing, and some of Lyndon's devotional was directly some of the points that I want to share with you toward the end of the message as well. And I don't know what to say because I just feel like apparently God wants us to look at this subject this morning. I don't know if there's someone here this morning that is hurting in their heart, but that is apparently what God wants us to look at today. And this message came about, well, it's actually been a process, but a while ago I had a good chat with a cousin of mine. I called him yesterday and said, you know, I just really enjoyed, and we sat down and talked, said, can I just use some of the life experiences you went through for some talking this morning here in a message? Said, absolutely. He said, anything in my life that you can use, you're welcome to. And he was a boy who definitely faced some hurts and disappointments in life. And but he was explaining to me as his growing up years and some of the things that he faced in life. And it helped to develop a burden for me. And, you know, we can have this thought process of, well, we're part of another church. And I think we need to just wash that away. And most of the churches are struggling with the same things. But he was telling me how, like, in his growing up years that, you know, he received Christ and not really, but nobody didn't really understand it, didn't really feel anything different in his life. And then he talked about how, you know, as he's growing up, said him and his friends, he said, you know, we all of our friends, we lived two lives. We lived one life through the week, we lived another life on Sunday. And he said, that's the way we did it. And he said, you know, so as he got on and he faced, You think about church life, you know, and you think, okay, at least this church, they do things like this way over here. This church does this thing over here. And what's the connection, you know? And you know how life is. Well, we can associate with these, but we can associate with these. And he talked to me about the confusion, you know, that he faced in life. And through that whole process. And I, you know, even today, we wrestle with some of that as well. And, you know, I'm really concerned here this morning. One of my concerns is that is not the Christian life. That is not what it means to be a Christian. And that's not what God has for us in life. And so I'd like to start with a verse in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. When Jesus came here and he was just starting to preach. And this is how he started out his ministry with this, these verses, okay? In Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so as I listened to his story, I've been processing some things and I continue to process that in the last few weeks. And I feel like the message, he was a key in helping me understand a few things. Or I shouldn't say maybe he was a key. What I heard him tell me was part of the burden of what I want to share this morning. And I looked at it and said, yes, there it is. There it is again. I see it again of this burden that is in my heart to share with you this morning. And so I would like to spend the first part of the message, just looking at the, I'm going to pull the board over here. We're going to look at some practical, what I believe that we are facing in our churches today that maybe we aren't aware of or we need to become aware of. So I'd like to start by drawing a circle here in the middle. And we're going to simply say that this is our life, okay? This is our life. And you know, all of us in life, we have things that happen. We have in our life, we have hurts. And we have pains in our life. And that we might as well just be honest. I don't care who we are. We have had things in our life that have hurt us and pains in our life, okay? We're not singling out one person from the other. We have all had them. We all will have them in life. Let's accept that, okay? That's part of this. But these things happen. Hurts and pains happen because of sometimes things that other people have done to us, things others have done to us. We have hurts and pains because of maybe choices that I have made in life, and then because of those choices, I have these hurts and pains in life. Okay? And so, hurts and pains come from various reasons. They can come from neglect. I felt neglected, or maybe I was pushed down and all that and never accepted, or at least I felt that way. That can come from all of that. And we all have sin in our life. We've all had sin, or have sin in our life at some point. And so, sin causes pain. You ever sin and you feel free? No, when you sin, it brings you into bondage. It brings you into hurt. It brings you into pain. And so that's kind of a, you know, just living a in our life, there's many people. This is a part of life. And you know, anxiety, as I think of what I'm just talking to you about, you know, if I'm living a double life, that brings anxiety in life, and I'm afraid of getting caught and all of that. But we also have, under hurts and pains, we also have things that we can say that God brings things into our life, okay? And I know maybe you can't read this, so you can maybe make your own illustration and you can't see it. But God brings things into our life that sometimes hurts and brings pains into our life. Now, another thing that happens sometimes, it happens, okay? So, whenever we have these hurts and pains into our life, we have mostly, you know, at that moment, many times, the devil uses that opportunity to make us believe a lie or insert a lie, I'm going to call, into your life. Now, in a moment of hurt and pain, some of us have known what it is to make statements like, I am so dumb. Or maybe in a moment of hurt and pain, we make a vow and we say, I will never. And you can finish it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you remember those moments in your life when in a moment someone hurt you, someone did something to you that hurt you, and you said, okay, if that's the way it is, I will never. And you finish it. You finish the statement. And sometimes I will never open up to another authority figure again. I will never do this again. I will never. And we vow that I will never do these kind of things. Or maybe we felt rejection and we say, I'm not worth a thing. We go down and we make these statements. Now, there's a lot of lies that we could actually put up in here. But I want us to understand this connection that there, when we face hurts and pains in our life, that it is at that moment, many times, that the devil uses that instance. And I don't always know if it's our carnal nature or if the devil was just right there inserting it at that point. I don't know that discussion is that important, okay? But God used, when these things happen, and they all happen to all of us, that at that point, there are so many times we will make these kind of statements, and they almost always involve words like never, always, and things like that. We call it their absolutes, okay? That's what we say these things. We make vows. We make promises. And And so this is something that is, I believe, many times, this is something that happens to individuals. And maybe it's happened to all of us to a certain extent. And one of the things that we are wrestling with, I think, in our churches, and I love our Anabaptist churches and our Mennonite churches, okay? And, well, I want you to know that when I say some of the things that I say here next, okay? I really do have a strong appreciation for them. But one of the things we must be real that we are wrestling with is we know how to make the outside look good, but we don't always know how to live. Now, I know that's a hard thing to say, but we've got to be real with that, okay? And so one of the things that happens, so I'm this person. I am. This is who I am. I have hurts and pains, and I think I'm dumb. I will never do this. And so what I do, though, but because I'm part of Mennonite Church, because I'm part of a culture that expects certain things of me, you see, I go over here and I cover this up. And so we put a hat on this guy right here. And we're going to put this as a hat of, we're just going to say plain clothes, okay? Now understand me, I am not saying that that is wrong, okay? But I'm just saying that when we have these kind of things, this is one way we can cover up who this person is. We cover them up, okay, I have good plain clothes on, I'm obeying the standards of my church. And so that's one hat on, okay? And we go up here and we have another hat that we can put on, that is good works. Are good works wrong? No, good works aren't wrong. Actually, the Bible commands it to be strong in good works. That be the part of your life. That's something that you cultivate, good works. But we also understand that if this is a package that is in here in turmoil, that good works don't fix the problem. Do we understand that? Good works don't fix the problem. But on top of that, we also have something that's a very good blessing on our life, and that is knowledge. And that is simply, you know, we have sat under teaching for years and years and years in our life. We know the answer. We know the answer in Sunday school, even if we don't say it. We know it. When someone asks a question, we know the right answer. And so one of the things that so easily happens in too many so-called Christians' lives is that there's a whole package of turmoil. And yet, because we don't fully understand the Christian life, we can easily cover that up of knowledge. You know, there's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. You see, so easy I cover it up I have the knowledge of God, of who He is, but don't know Him. And so we cover, it's another hat on top of what is going to be a life of turmoil. And now, I don't know how many hats I should put on this guy, but you can also have the hat here of we're just going to say forced cheerfulness. Because we all know that we can't, if we're claiming to be Christians, we can't walk around with a frown on our face. And so, but I want you to look at this guy or this lady, whoever it is, right here now. This person, if they don't get some help, is going to blow their top. You can't live life like this. You can't live with turmoil and pain and sin and anxiety in your heart. And not only that, but the devil has inserted lies in you, and you are telling yourself lies about yourself. And so to cover all this up, we put on the plain clothes, we put on the good works, we put on knowledge, we put on cheerfulness. And guess what? You have a person that's very miserable about life. Okay. And so, one of the things, though, okay, so there's a couple options that we have at this point. And I did have this in points. If you're taking notes, the first point was our life in a circle, and hurts in our life, sin in our life, living a double life, anxiety in our life, pains by either things that others have done to us, what we have done to ourselves, or even maybe what God has brought into our life. And number two, Second point is that at the moment of pain, the devil inserts a lie. And I want us to get this point. Certainly in your life you can see that, right? You have done that, right? Is anybody going to nod their head? We have done that, right? And so we understand that when we have these kind of pains, I want us to remember that the next time we are hurt and we go, I will never, remember that is of the devil. Okay? At the moment of pain, the devil inserts a lie. But now thirdly, because we are good people with good teaching, we build a shell around our life so we do not get hurt again. Because we are good people and good teaching, we build a shell around our life so we do not get hurt again. And this can be the shell that we try to build around our life. But we can't, I don't think it is possible that a person can live life right like this, okay? And so we have a couple ways out. There's the right way out, or there's the way out where I can I would do something to bring pleasure to my life, to medicate my pain. I'm going to write up here a number of things that we are facing today. One of these, I'm going to start with some of the ones you maybe wouldn't expect. Gluttony. You know, okay, we all say we all like to eat, right? Well, one way I can start to ease this pain is by finding joy in eating, okay? This also can make a person be a workaholic. I think that's spelled right. You know, men, probably this affects us more than anything. You've probably heard me say it before. Do you know what? Sometimes when work's going well, business is going well, we know how to run we know how to estimate, we know how to make numbers work. But you know, it's a soft spot for us to go. If I feel pain in my life, just go to work. Because that's something I can do. Okay, so we can become a workaholic. Now there's many other areas we can learn to try to ease this pain in our life. And I'm just going to write down a number of them. One of them can be excess spending. I'm working hard, I deserve, you put it there. I worked with a customer one time when his wife divorced him. He bought himself a vehicle that I think was $250,000. I think is what it was. And let's not be fooled. There was pain, hurt, and sin in that life. He was trying to medicate his pain, trying to ease his pain. Okay? And so that can be one thing. I deserve this because of, well, you decide why. And we can also get down through here and we have things like fantasy. And this isn't just a man's problem. It can also be a woman's problem as well. You know, young girls, this is why you should not read romance novels. Because one of the things, you are going to face hurts and pains and anxiety in your life. It's not if, it's just when it happens. And if you learn early in life that whenever maybe you're just stressed, it's not always about some big thing happening. It can be a way of coping with stress. But when I have stress in my life, I have pain in my life, I'll just go into my fantasy world and there I'm going to live. And that's how I block out what life is bringing down my way. Okay? That's real. Okay? People do that. Then we can do that in our minds. We can have this world that we live in, and it's an easy spot to go to. And instead of, this is how we're dealing with this. And I want us to get the connection that, see, because of all of this that's happening here, this is a very miserable person. And this is the way we are coping with life, is we're easing the pain. Okay? We go into fantasy. We can go into social media. YouTube. And these are real to us today. This is a way we cope with life, right here. Too many people. I took my notes. I'm trying to get the rest of them are. We have YouTube. Now, I know you want to see this one up here, but this is also true. This is where pornography comes in. Pornography is a result of this kind of a life. You also have cocaine. And you say, oh, we're far from that. The connection I want us to get, we can see it in cocaine, but can we see it in the rest of them? Okay, let's be real. We can see it in the cocaine, but can we see it in the rest of these that seem so sometimes acceptable? Partying can be another one. There's a list we could put up, a long list. And all of these are ways of being able to cope with life, to cope with the problems that life brings. And I'd like to just go to a few verses now to help us understand. The Bible also talks about this. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, it's Ephesians 4, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And there are two options, and that is we can either drink, or we can be filled with the Spirit. Now I don't know that we're struggling with getting drunk here, but this is a form of that same thing that we were talking about. And so, let's just face it, brothers and sisters. Life is not easy. Life is full of pressures. Life is full of disappointments. Life has hurts and pains in it. You'll never get around that. And we only have one of two ways to deal with life. We have a couple ways to deal with life, and that is we have a whole list over here where we can learn to live life in a way that the pain is just able to bear. Okay? Or we can look at another option, which we'll look at here in a bit. Now, I want us to also think, there's some things that I want us to understand, some studies about the brain that was interesting to me, is that when we have things like deep hurts, deep pains in our life, or even real excitement, those are things that automatically go into long-term memory, immediately. They go into our long-term memory. And it's also true that if right along with that pain and that hurt, I learn to tell myself a lie about myself, okay? And any one of these, I will never. I am so dumb. And you put them all there. And if I learn to call at the memory, at that memory coming back, and I repeat that vow, that becomes something that becomes ingrained in a person. That lie will become ingrained in us. And I want us to think about that process, because that after a while will become a part of my life that I need to recognize that's deeply rooted there, because just simply the way God made us. And if you ever study into the brain, you just have to go back to Psalm 139 and say, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It is just amazing how God made us. And so I would like to run a little bit of a bunny trail here now. You know, one of the things that the church leaders are starting to talk about and parents are starting to talk about is that, and this just isn't one or two people, but you know, we're constantly seeing youth being at an older age and maybe even at an older age, not even seeing the need to accept Christ. And it's becoming a concern, and we're asking, what is wrong? And I would like to suggest to you what's wrong. You see, part of this whole package of can also be guilt. That
guilt should be a part of my life if I have sin in my life, right? If I've not accepted Christ, guilt should be a part of my life. But you see, if I have all these areas over here that I can learn to medicate my pain, my guilt, I will probably never feel a call real strong. You know, and I've heard church leaders look at me, of people I never thought I would hear this, and say, when they look at, left it down there. I was going to bring my phone in for an illustration. Look at me and say, did we make a mistake? To have YouTube, social media, porn, and we hope that's not readily available, but at my fingertips, can make a person live where they will not feel the call of God. Because this is how I'm dealing. I have this to deal with this. And I'm not saying you have to accept what I'm saying, but I would like you to go home and think about it.
Now, I would like to go back to Luke chapter 4. I'd like to read that scripture again in light of what we just talked about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Now, what is the gospel again? What does the gospel mean? Good news. Now, does this person need good news? Absolutely. To preach the good news to the poor, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This person is brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captive. These things are addictions. Let's call them what they are. They become addictions in our life. And one of the reasons they become addictions is because that is what I go to. That is what I go to when I need a good feeling. When I feel stress in my life, I feel pain in my life, I go to my addiction. Okay? But it says, this is Jesus, He came, the healer, to preach deliverance from that stuff. And the recovering of sight to the blind. Now, this person is blinded in some ways, that he cannot hardly see the truth when we have this kind of a cycle. To preach deliverance to the captive and the recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty this bruised person. Now, brothers and sisters, this is not the Christian life. Not in any way, shape, or form. But I believe that this is how too many of our people are living today. Living in hurt and pain. And instead of going to Jesus Christ, we turn to this. Now, I do want us to understand that there are some differences in some of these. Some of these right here are not acceptable in any form. There is a difference, okay? But sometimes what happens, we change one that's unacceptable for a workaholic or a glutton. And all we have done is switch to another Medicaid to help our problem. How can Jesus help? What I have to share the rest of the message is nothing profound, nothing you haven't heard before. But let's please recognize this is not the Christian life. Letter A, sin must be confessed to God and man if needed. All sin is against God. Now let's turn to the book of 1 John. First John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. That is God's will for your life, that we don't sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And so we have on the other side, we can choose
the other way,
where we can choose to, I'm just going to write number one, walk in the light. Walking the light to me includes many things.
It includes openness, confession of sin. If I have sin in my life, if I have guilt, I have reason to be hurting it, but I must get rid of that guilt before I can deal with the other things in life. Walk in the light. It means confession of sin. It means being clear and open with my life. And one of the things that I was with a meeting I had with that man the other week, I was so blessed in that we hadn't talked for, well, no, we had talked over Christmas time, but we had talked. I hadn't really had a good chat with him for many long time, and so I would ask him questions, and I would say, "Well, I don't want to ask something I shouldn't ask." He said, "My life's an open book. You ask me any question you want to ask," and so we did.
But walking in the light means
my life's an open book. You can ask me any question you want. I mean, okay, we realize we don't wear our emotions on our sleeves, or we don't just blow up to just anyone and just unload our life story. That's not the point, okay? We understand that there are some boundaries in all this. But we walk in the light. I have nothing to hide. I'm walking in the light. And if I have sinned, I will confess it. And one of the things that he told me was a tremendous blessing to me. He said, you know what? I'll tell you, one of the hardest things I had to do was go back to the people I hurt and make things right. He said, that was hard for me to do. But you know what? I could tell by looking in his eyes, he was free. He was free. But you know what? Part of walking in the light is when I have hurt other people. Yeah, I need to go back and make it right. If I have intentionally hurt them through sin and through whatever means, and maybe even other than that, if we know we did. Walk in the light. There's some more, many verses we could look at. In James chapter 5, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. That's 1 John 1:9. James 5:16 is what? Confess your faults one to another that ye may be healed. This person needs healing. Now, that word fault was translated very weakly. That word fault means trespass. It means a sin. Confess your sins, your trespass one to another that ye may receive healing. It's part of walking in the light. It's the same word as in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sins. But you know, if we don't learn to walk in the light, if we don't learn to walk in the light, this guilt of sin will continue to bring shame in my life, and I will continue this cycle, and I will continue back into these addictions that I find it bearable to live life. To walk in the light, number one, and there's... these points are all messages in themselves, but obviously we don't have time for that. So, to help understand my point structure, let me go back just a little bit, if you're taking notes. So, number four was, we learn to medicate our pain so we can bear it. That was the one over there. We learn to medicate our pain so we can bear. Number five, we must take our pain to Jesus, the great healer. And letter A was, sin must be confessed to God and man if needed. Letter B, I must forgive the hurts that others have inflicted on me. Unforgiveness, and many times this is part of this whole journey here, when I'm living this kind of life, is I have unforgiveness in my heart. I have bitterness and anger in my heart that's just boiling in there. I don't know what to, and I'm just... or maybe I know what to do, I just don't want to do anything with it. And, you know, when we are hurting people, when we have unforgiveness in our hearts, many times it will drive us to these kind of things to be able to live life. And, you know, the problem with unforgiveness is, you know, when we are hurting, mostly we turn around and hurt other people. That's what's serious about it. That's what we do when we're hurting. Now, we have to be careful with that. It's so easy for us to do. You know, I've watched and this whole thing of forgiveness, and I want us to think seriously about this, especially, I'm going to say, young people. Why? Because you're young and you're new. You have an opportunity. But I have watched this thing of unforgiveness, and I'm convinced of a couple of things. Number one is that we all face hurts in life. I don't care who you are. You will face hurts and pains in life. Secondly is that people either learn early in life to forgive or they almost never learn to forgive. I know that's probably a mouthful, but you just keep your eyes open and you will see it. I have watched young people forgive very difficult things in life. And I have watched older people hold grudges over the stupidest things. And I ask you what the difference is. And I think it is this simple. We either learn early in life, and we can change at any point, don't get me wrong, but we either learn early in life to forgive, or we learn early in life to hold grudges. And then the way we live our life is over here. Matthew 6, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debters. You know, there are two things that happen when we hold unforgiveness in our life. There is pain in our life because we have not experienced God's forgiveness. And if I haven't experienced God's forgiveness, I can't break this chain. And you know, if I have not experienced God's forgiveness, I cannot forgive others. I don't understand forgiveness. But if I have experienced God's forgiveness, that motivates me, and I understand that motivates me to forgive others for their hurts to me. And so, number two is, we're going to simply write forgiveness. Number three, we're going to make this one pretty quick, but accept God's sovereignty. Accept God's sovereignty. I think of Jeremiah and all the pain that Jeremiah went through. Do you know what God told him? And I know this was to Jeremiah, but I don't know why you can't apply it to your life. Because there are other scriptures we could go to. He told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God knew your life from beginning to end, before you were even conceived. God has a plan for your life. God wants it to be a beautiful plan. It might not have been what I wanted, or there's a lot of things in my life that I shouldn't say a lot, but there are things I would have definitely changed if I had the opportunity. But you know what? You might as well accept it, right? That's how I can find freedom in Christ. Accept God's sovereignty. Number four. I need to refute the lies of the enemy and replace them with a promise. Let's not forget this down here, okay? Now, I don't believe that, especially if I make statements like this because of sin, okay? Because of sin in my life, I don't believe I can ever be free from these until I take this first step. Okay? And if I'm holding unforgiveness in my heart towards things others have done to me, I don't think I can ever be free from the statements I made during those times unless I forgive. Okay? But if we are not careful, even if we are living right before God, these lies can stay with us and will keep us from being truly free like God wants us to be. And I understand, because I have, you know, not so much maybe recently, but I understand what it's like to struggle with some of those things. You know, it's one thing if you get down here to eat lunch and you spoil your plate and you say, well, that surely was dumb. And, you know, by next week you forget about it. But you see, some of these things are deeply embedded in us because they happened at a time of, well, it was truly painful for us.
And so they are in our long-term memory, if you want the science behind it. And you know what? I will need to replace this with a promise from God.
I'm just going to... John 8, well, you know the verse. John 8, verse 44 says, he told the Jews there, he said, you are the Father, you're of your... No, I can't say it. John 8, verse 44. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Lies are part of the kingdom of darkness. Okay? And so, I want to ask you a question. Now, does God make dummies? Does God make worthless people? No! That's a lie! But what does God do? And I want us to understand, and it's not like that these kind of things here are some massive sin in our life. But if we're not careful, if I tell myself that I'm a dummy, and I keep telling myself that, and I keep telling myself I ain't worth anything, the problem is that after a while that'll actually become true. That's what's scary about this whole thing when you talk about mental health and that whole thing, that whole journey. One of the reasons we need to be free from it is because, number one, it is not true. That is not what God says about us. But the serious part is, if I tell myself this over and over again, after a while, you will be what you tell yourself you are. But if you replace that with something that is truth, and I want to, talking about truth, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus sent the Spirit of truth. And his goal is to guide you into all truth. He wants to guide you into all truth. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you, to guide you into the truth. And then we have the verses in John chapter 8 where it says, I can't get it. So that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Somebody finish it for me. Make you free. Make you free. Replace these with a promise from God. Replace this with Scripture. That is not true about you. Now, there's one thing about this whole thing. You know, if I have made a vow... in a moment of pain, I will never. You do need to repent of that vow. In other words, you need to say, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I realize that's not of you. Okay? Because you know what? Things that we say we will never do, God will circle around and push that button. He will. But it's in his mercy that he does. He don't want us to live that way. And so, thinking of, you know what, when we wrestle with some of these things, and this is not an uncommon struggle. Probably almost all of you can identify with it. In Luke chapter 12, we have here how God feels about us. And if you're having these thoughts, you memorize these scriptures. It says in verse 6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten of God, but even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye have more value than many sparrows. That's a promise from God. That's how God looks at you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. That's the promise. That's the truth. This other stuff over here is lies. And Jesus also said in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And also, in Psalm 139, there's also some very clear direction of how God views us. Psalm 139, For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with thee. That's a promise to hang on to and replace that. When those thoughts come and that doubt comes, you replace that with a promise from God. And that's how we live life. That's how we live the Christian life. And if we're going to live, and please understand that if we want to live in true freedom, we must replace these lies with the truth of God's word. We must do that. And tell ourselves the truth of what God thinks about us. And finally, Christian life is not about living on this side. That's not the Christian life. But the Christian life is taking these hurts, these pains, this sin, this anxiety, and dealing them with the way God says we should deal with them. That's how we find freedom. That's how we can walk in freedom, walk in truth, walk in the light. And this is the first of, I think, several messages I want to preach on helping us to understand the Christian life, understanding the Spirit of God. And we talk about the Spirit of God dwelling in us and all of that. And yet I look at, please understand me, I'm not believing that everybody lives this way, okay? But I feel like we run into it often, where this is the picture of the Christian life, and it's not. And you know, if this is my life, I don't have the Spirit. But if I have the Spirit, I will have life. I will understand what life in Christ is. Thank you for your good attention. Let's kneel for prayer.